Blog Talk Radio.
The streets don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your hosts Boyd and Lucinda for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back.
Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show on Blog Talk Radio. Today is December 9th, 2009. I'm your host, Lucinda. This is my co-host, Robert Boyd. And tonight our topic is, as always, the Streets Don't Love You Back. We have a fantastic show for you tonight with our guest, Adria Young, an author, a playwright, and a teacher out of Detroit, Michigan. And we'll talk with her in just a few minutes. I'd like to welcome my co-host, Rob, to the show tonight. Welcome, Rob.
How you doing, Ms. Lucinda? Glad to be here tonight, and glad to have Ms. Young on the show tonight for her to tell her story and tell what she contributes to the world as well as a person, individual, and a teacher. We're going to turn the show over tonight to Ms. Young for her to introduce herself right now to the world, and we'll get right into the show.
Well, thank you so much, Boyd and Lucinda, for having me on your show tonight. And I just want to first say I commend you on your debut novel, The Streets Don't Love You Back. I know it's going to reach and teach the masses, and, you know, by you being able to share your situation with the youth so that they can make reasonable choices. So I'm very happy about your book, and I have been sharing information about it as well. My name is Adria Young, and I'm a native of Gary, Indiana, and I've been teaching in Detroit for, this is my 14th year currently. My books are just simply based upon what I see as an educator and what the kids are bringing into the classroom. In layman's terms, what is going on that's so painful at home or, you know, outside of the classroom that's interfering with the learning process?
Right.
So the different situations that I've seen children bring into the classroom, I just decided to write about it and turn it into a multi-usage guide, therefore it being an acting guide, because I do have a background in acting, and I'm an acting coach, and I am an advocate for the arts, and it being a guide for appropriate socialization skills. So with that came the Everyday Living of Children and Teens Monologues, the actual series. So there are currently two books out.
Oh,
now.
That sounds wonderful. That sounds wonderful. And we want to thank you for coming on the show, Ms. Young, and like I said, we're going to get right into it right now, and thank you again for speaking on my book as well, you know. And it's just about real life. I grew up right in the city of Detroit, you know, Brewster Projects, Van Lack and Harper, you know, all through the East Side, period, you know, I grew up. So it's definitely a learning experience, and I'm blessed to be here to tell my story. So, Ms. Young, I know you've been teaching for 14 years now, and I wanted to just ask you what made you get into becoming a teacher, and what made you go that route?
Well, boy, what made me want to be a teacher? Do you know when you're a kid how you visualize and you actually see yourself doing something, Lucinda, boy? Yeah, you can actually see yourself doing something like actually playing doctor or playing something in a field, a related field, as a child, like you role play. Well, I role play with dolls and a chalkboard, and the dolls were my students. The dolls were my students, and I had a chalkboard, and I had pretend names for my dolls, and I talked to them as if they were my students. And in my family, I come from a family of either educators or you're in the medical field, so I come from a family of nurses and teachers, so it was probably going to be my fate. And like Lucinda, who's in the medical field, I'm scared of blood. So I just kind of veered to the education sector because I knew I couldn't handle the blood, so I became a teacher.
Teach them,
yeah.
See them bloody.
Huh?
You'd rather teach them than see them bloody, I figure.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I mean, I actually saw my mom. I went to visit my mom in the hospital, and she's talking to me and hooking up an IV like it's no big deal. And I'm like, oh, no, 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 not for me. So I became a teacher. I am from Gary, Indiana, and I attended Central State University in Wilberforce, Ohio. And I guess my fate was to end up in Detroit because they were the first to call me and say, hey, we got a position for you if you would like it. And I'm like, coming fresh out of college, no money.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm on my way. So
that's
how I ended up in Detroit, yes.
All right, then. You know, we're glad of that, then. So we want to get right to your book. Can you tell the audience a little bit about your book and how the book came about, and what is your educational point on your book for the youths and for the old generation as well?
Absolutely. Let me start by saying that my books are divided into different dilemmas and situations that girls and young boys are going through and they bring to the classroom. What I mean by that is, let me give you an example. Brandon comes to school Monday morning very bitter, very angry due to what happened to him over the weekend. So it's to the point where I'm about ready to suspend Brandon, but something's telling me, and I've learned with my teaching, the older I get, the more I'm becoming mature with the situation, and I'm discovering, you know, all of our children are not bad. They're dealing with bad situations, and as an end result, they're releasing the anger in the classroom. So let's go back to Brandon. Brandon is angry. Brandon is reacting out in the classroom. So I want to suspend Brandon, but something tells me to talk to Brandon while the other kids are gone to school. We'll come to find out Brandon is angry because he's been let down by his father, or the male figure in his life who has promised him the whole weekend to pick him up for a haircut, and he doesn't show. Now, mind you, Brandon's been waiting in the window all weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So the person that he loved and trusted, the male figure in his life, let him down. So as an end result, coming to school that Monday, he's angry. So he finally releases his anger. Those are some of the situations that you would find in my books. And, you know, different situations for young ladies, different situations for young men, and a combination of different dilemmas and situations that young men and young women are going through, ranging from the ages of 7 through 18. Now, are all the situations sad? No. But are they real? They are true to life. So it's not, all of the stories are not going to be happy, you know. It's the real deal, and it's the testament of what I decided to write coming from my children's point of view. So I just told it through my books.
Well, and mm-hmm. I just want to commend you on that too, Ms. Young, because I already felt what you said about the young man Brandon, because I went through the same dilemma, you know.
Yeah.
My real daddy telling me he coming through, he never shows, you know. And I had a very bad situation down at Tiger Stadium back home, you know.
Yeah.
Just me to meet him at Tiger Stadium. We going to the baseball game. He never shows up. You see what I'm saying? So
yeah.
All that is what a child needs to hear. And a lot of times, like you said, a child is not always a very bad kid, might go through some bad situations and do some bad things, but it's things that make that individual, whether they're grown or whether they're young, react to a situation, you know? And if you have nobody to talk to and let that outlet out to, well, then that negative goes into anger, like you explained. So, yeah, I'll definitely commend you on that book there.
Yes, sir. And about the traditionalist teachers, I got a few years behind my belt, Boyd and Lucinda. So I guess I'm sort of kind of, I'm not the new kid on the block. I'm not the rookie teacher, but I'm not the traditionalist teacher either.
Right.
My books, I believe, are great tools for traditionalist teachers because, as you know, when we were coming up, it was a no-nonsense situation. Like, we were the kind of kids, please don't call home. Let's work this out. You know, my mama and daddy type.
Up in the classroom.
Right.
Mama coming to the classroom.
Right, like Jesus. Right.
Yeah.
No, I don't want it. Let's work it out.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Mama coming in the classroom. She ain't even waiting till you get home.
Exactly.
You know, got the belt or the switch in the classroom. And one thing I want to say, Ms. Young, you know, the system got broke down many years ago when the government stepped in with all this 241 kids, you know. And I think that's what broke a lot of the systems down when it came to when we grew up compared to when others started growing up behind us, you know.
Exactly.
Parents could not, you know, discipline that child or, you know, the child jump on the phone, oh, daddy or mama hit me. And you know, we keep it real right here at the Streets Don't Love You Back show. But I got to say what I'm going to say to you. When you got your ass whooped and I got mine whooped, we just went home and had to go in the room and get on our punishment. You know what I mean? But
yes.
Nowadays, these kids, they jump on the phone. Mom and daddy ain't even gave them no whooping like we got back in the day. Now the parents is in the courtroom, and we're going through all this old rigmarole now, you know? And that's,
yeah.
That's what broke a lot of the family thing down for our disciplining the kids. Do you agree or disagree with that?
Well, I want to just add a little bit more to that. Parenting has changed, the responsibility of parents. A lot of kids don't have that fear because parenting has taken a decline. And what I mean by that, boy, is that there's no fear factor. For an example, like you just said, if we called a parent, you know you was going to get dealt with immediately. You didn't have to necessarily wait till you got home. Now you have kids telling you, well, call home. And you think they're being disrespectful, but they're really reaching out because they'll say, well, call home. And then at the end of that sentence, they'll say, because nobody's home anyway and nobody cares. You follow me? So,
well, ain't nobody going to do nothing to me.
You know, so the decline, parenting has changed. And, you know, I was always taught, you know, from my grandmother on up, parenting starts at home. You know, the first teaching should begin with the education of your parents. And you send them to school, and it's a two-way team approach. Therefore, the parents and the educators working together for the betterment and learning of your son and your daughter. And it's not, unfortunately, it's not like that. But I do want to say some good news. I can see now, and even with this year, I can see parents making more so of an effort to get it back to that, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
But it's been tough. These 14 years, each year when I think I have saw it all as an educator, something tops it. So I'm like, I thought I seen the worst situation last year until something else comes to match it. But back to answering your other question, my books are great for traditionalist teachers because, you know, they come from a time where corporal punishment was allowed, when there was not allowed. But then they can also understand these aren't the same children, you know. Not only is the children not coming from two-parent homes, it may not be a parent at home. You know, high incidence of children in foster care. And it really breaks my heart, I'm coming to find, you know, I'm angry or disappointed in that child's behavior, and I call home to come to find that it's the grandparents trying to raise their son, daughter's children. And for some reason, their children have gotten an easy ride, in my opinion, because grandmothers and grandfathers should be relaxing at this point. They should not have to be.
I say the same thing, Ms. Young. You feel me?
Yes.
But you know, it's not like that. You feel me? Like you said, I mean, the whole parent, from the kid that was born in the 80s to now, the whole parent system been broke down. You know, because like you said, if the parents ain't at home, the grandparents raising the child, and then if the parents is half of the time, the child and the parents getting high together. You know what I mean? So it's all been broke down. We couldn't drink, smoke no weed, smoke no cigarettes in front of our parents, none of that back in the day. You know what I mean? You got your bottom toe up if you even thought you was talking about. But nowadays, parents shouldn't get high and all that with their kids nowadays. So the whole system done been broke down as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. But here's the thing. And despite of what your parents did, that does not necessarily mean, like you said, boy, that you do that around your kids. That should not be acceptable, you know.
Right.
And that's another factor. Stop trying to be your child's friend. You are the parents first.
Don't say that again, because there's so many other people that said the same thing that you have said that we have interviewed on our show, and they say the same thing. But there's so many parents out here trying to be cool with their kids, want to get high with their kids and chill with their kids, but that's your damn kid. You don't need to be sitting getting high with no kid. Your kids shouldn't even know what the hell you do, period.
No,
you feel
they
me?
Should not.
Real child,
exactly.
When we was coming up, we didn't even know what our parents did because we didn't see nothing go wrong in the house. You know what I mean? If mama or daddy did something, they didn't do it around us. You know what I mean? So
and if you,
that's the point of what's going on nowadays. You know, kids will sit down with their parents, drink, get high, smoke weed, whatever else they do, and next thing you know, they wonder why the child ain't listening to them. Why should they listen to you? You're doing the same thing you're telling them not to do. You know what I mean? So,
Exactly. Or, you know, boy, Lucinda, there may have been. Everybody had an uncle drunk, a cousin drunk, daddy drunk. You know, one of us experienced a situation where you may have had an alcoholic parent, but you still knew just because they did it, you didn't do it. And those would be the same parents with the alcohol on your breath. They would come up to the school and you would still act like you had some sense
They ain't coming to the parents-teacher conference talking either, especially when the teacher that told them you up there acting a fool.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely.
So we having a great time tonight right here with Ms. Young from Gary, Indiana / Detroit. And right now we're going to go to a song, The Streets Don't Love You Back, and a commercial, and we'll be right back with Ms. Young.
What's up, what's up? This RB checking in. But the streets don't love you back. The movement is on, baby. Letting you know, me and LD talking about that thug/drug life. Let me tell you a little lesson, players. In these streets, baby, they'll never love you back. Trust that. Everybody's around here talking about all that thug life, player. Talking about that drug dealing thing. Tell you, baby, it's about getting your life together, getting your head on tight, doing something with your life and stop destroying your community and stop destroying yourself, baby. But when the people come at you, they come for real, player. Homeboys on my team done got 400 million before, baby. 100 million, baby. Now they sitting on death row, baby. That's where you want to be, player. Because the drug game is washed up. The thug game is washed up, baby. They put it in our communities, baby, and they tell us off the top, yeah, you can make this, you can make that. But once they come for you, game over, lights out. Do what you feel, do what you want to do, baby, but join the movement. It's the streets, baby. They don't love you back. It's the streets, baby. They don't love you back. Come on, come on.
In the street, no one's above you. In the street, no one can touch you. In the street, love
yeah,
if you want.
track here is a track of knowledge, you feel me? Want all young brothers and sisters across America to understand that the drug game, the thug life, that's all washed up right now. Take heed, learn from players that done live that life, you feel me? Much love to my man, the real freeway Ricky Ross. Jeff Step Down, May 4th, we sending you much love out there to Cali, you feel me? Much love to everybody across state to state who roll with the movement. It's time to open your eyes up, people. It's time to rise up above all this street thing, you feel me? It's a better way. Let's do this. It's moments like this when my back's against the fence that I say fuck the fence. Life is just, I gotta go and get a bit. Got he caught up in moving shit, I'm strong. It started from my home, so I'm at home with pressures. Are we all alone when we born? We all alone when we die. We need to get our shit together. We can make it if we try. Can probably make it if you cry. But I hate it when you whine. And if all this truth is up, then you can take it when you die. I'm on my grind, cause all I got is time. But maybe it's enough. But if it's not, then let me know. Cause I feel like I'm on bus. I'm overstuffed with propaganda. This is slander. And lies, try to slick the public and then wonder why there's crimes and murders on the rise, cause we ain't got a dime. Shit, I'ma hurt some fucking body, you can see it in my eyes. I lie awake sometimes at night and ponder how to get ahead, jump out of bed paranoid, I'm going backwards instead. Feel like my feet is full of lead, cause I just can't move, freestyle life off the head, cause I don't know what to do. I need to make a couple moves. Ooh, I need to make a couple moves. I need to make a couple moves, but I gotta stay free, cause each and everything I do and say affects my seed. Decide what's the truth, separated from fallacy. Separate what I want from the things that I need, and try to make a way for everything to be okay. Stay focused on my goals, so you never stray away. Let the past be the past, and your future's okay. Pay attention to the present, living in it every day. Come
let
on.
Let us all be checking back in with you, like I said. It's that traffic knowledge, that you young brothers and sisters understand. That hey, the street life, that's a dead issue, that's a dead game, that's all washed up. Let's get our life together, let's do what we need to do. Let's love more, hate none. RB, love, one. Much love to Lucinda, my manager, and my man LD. Let's do it. 100. Out.
Yes, yes, and welcome right back here to the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show with our guest, Miss Young. And like I said, we're having a great show. And I'm going to turn the show over now to Miss Lucinda, and she can ask Miss Young some questions. And once again, great having you here at the show, Miss Young.
Thank you again. I appreciate it. I appreciate the opportunity to be on.
And before I ask a few questions, if there's anyone listening that would like to call in and talk to Ms. Young or Boyd or myself, the number is 347-826-7273. And, you know, I was wondering, when you, you know, when you do the monologues for your book, do you use the kids' real names or do you use different names?
Actually, none of my children's real names are ever revealed. So, and since it is an acting book, we just replace the name with an acting name that you could utilize while you, you know, perform that actual act. So,
right. So
none of my children's names are actually revealed. No.
Do they know though that those that that's their personal story or that that was about them?
Yes, quite a few of them do, and due to the fact that I've been teaching 14 years, quite a few of them are grown and have families
right.
on their own. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And as far as teenagers go, you know, no matter when you're a teenager, you know, there's always the same troubles and struggles as far as growing up. But do you see anything different now than you did 14 years ago?
Absolutely. The challenges, I feel sorry with a lot of turmoil and difficulties and multifaceted issues that the youth have to deal with today. Now, when I was coming up, there was always maybe one or two, you know, what dysfunctional situations in the classroom. Now, the norm, unfortunately, is half or more. So, unfortunately, in today's setting, 9 times out of 10, 25% or more of the kids in your classroom are going to be coming with some kind of behavior dysfunctional issue not related to the classroom. In other words, it's coming from an outside source to the classroom, which can make it a challenge for the teacher to reach certain goals and learning objectives for the end of the school year because, you know, that child is hurting so bad. You're trying to reach them and teach them, but whatever it is that's going on heavily impedes them so much, you know, they can't get past it, you know. So,
So are the monologues something that you guys do in the drama classes all the time or once in a while?
They are done in drama classes. They're conducted and utilized in book clubs. Organizations, social workers have utilized my books for therapy with children because, you know, sometimes a lot of the issues inside of my books are social worker related. You follow me? So the social worker could actually identify a dilemma and say, hey, I'm glad I got this book, Ms. Young, because this young man or this young lady, this is exactly what they're going through. So now we get a chance to talk about it. He or she gets an opportunity to get it off their chest, and they can take it from that point as to decide what can be done so that that child can heal, you know, and move forward.
Right. Now, are the interactions with maybe the children and parents done through mostly social workers, or do you ever get involved in that?
I'm not a social worker personally, but I would utilize the different acts for acting because I do have a background in acting. Children get an opportunity to observe the monologues, and if they're not going through that situation, Lucinda, they probably know a child that is going through that situation.
Right.
For an example, people fail to realize it's I understand that divorces have to take place. You know, that could set in some depression. Different things like I was explaining to Boyd. When you tell a child that you're going to do something, it's so important to follow through on what you say you're going to do, no matter how big or small it is. If you said you're going to pick that child up and go get them a haircut, you need to follow through on that, because if you don't follow through on that, that will result to that child having trust issues. And it stems from home, and it started with that adult that you loved and you confided in who let you down. So you basically began to put up boards for any other people, and you began to accumulate distrust issues simply because that happened in your childhood. And people fail to realize that it majority of the things that occur with the youth usually stem from childhood, but then if it's never addressed or they never get an opportunity to get that situation off their chest, they carry that situation into adulthood, which therefore can then result is, you know, I'm not going to say a totally dysfunctional adult, but an adult that probably should have, you know, had that situation addressed.
Right, and it depends on the person, too, but, yeah, a lot of, and you could have a lot of acting out problems. And,
exactly.
Looking for attention where you shouldn't be looking kind of problems also.
Yeah, you can have that, and but, you know, being an educator, I can kind of pinpoint that coming around the corner, you know. There's a difference between a child that just wants some attention. You can kind of solve that. That wouldn't take as long as to solve because you can get the counselor involved, you can get the parents involved. But when you have a child that is hurt about something and you see a continuous pattern, then that's when you know this child is not just doing this for attention. There's definitely something occurring that needs to be addressed before the situation worsens. So
you would think that you could, you know, that you should, as a social worker or somebody, be able to, and they probably want to, is just like get the parents together and say, hey, you guys, come on, you know, this is your kid. Can't you see what you're doing? But in the real world, that doesn't really, I don't think that happens quite as often as we would like.
Unfortunately, no. Sometimes, yes, but unfortunately, as you mentioned, in the real world, not all the time, not like it should be.
Right. What would be, out of the monologues that you did, one of the greatest success stories that you can think of?
Wow, one of the greatest success stories would have to be in my first book. And it's based upon a young lady who has to make a choice. She's very close to graduating. She has to decide. Her mother abandoned her, leaving her with her brothers. Her mother had a drug issue, so she just basically left the responsibility of this young lady and the two young men, her brothers, she left that responsibility on that young lady. So the young lady is, the burden is, should I go to the social worker and report this, or should I just try to maintain this situation until I graduate? Well, I'm happy to say now that that young lady is married. She attended a community college, and both of her brothers are doing okay. But that situation, when I was attending school, like I said, there may have been one or two young adults going through that situation, where now it's so many different horror stories. That's just one of the many situations that kids are dealing with today. So you're seeing an increase in dysfunction is what I'm saying, Lucinda.
Oh, definitely.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that successes are not as easy to see as the struggles in nowadays society, you know, with the
yeah.
one parent or no parent home.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you know what? I can't even blame it on that, because my parents did not make it. They divorced, and I'm a product of, divorced parents. However, despite of that, it's got to be decided that once you have a child, and in my opinion, to become a parent, that is the hardest job in the world. Once you have a child, you are obligated the responsibilities to be the best parent that you can be. And that's not something that you can learn in any institution or any college. That's something that should instantaneously come from within once your child is born. So, I would say more parents and teachers need to just come together so that the child can benefit, because that's what it's all about. You don't see that as much as you should see it, but I'm hoping that, you know, we're getting back on that track to where it used to be, you know.
Right.
Because I honestly believe the more parent and teacher participation and communication that you have, the higher the success rate for that child.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And definitely, you know, talking or reading about certain situations instead of just ignoring them and pretending that they're not there, you know, definitely.
Exactly.
Something positive. And, you know, a lot of people can relate to the stories, just like you said, you know, because they are real.
Yeah. You know what? It's funny you say that. I've had a lot of adults read my books and say, you know, this book is for me. It's for my children. But this is me right here. Different name. I went through the same thing. So thank you for this. You know?
Right.
So you could be unintentionally become an advocate for a parent who went through that situation, and I didn't even know that that's what I was doing until the parents started telling me that.
Right. And I think sometimes the parents don't really realize what they're doing to their children in certain instances or situations.
Which is
they're so busy living their life or trying to make things happen or...
Yeah,
know,
just unintentionally...
They don't even care.
Right. I call it the, you know, just moving, trying to pay bills, trying to survive, trying to make sure a roof is over, you know, everyone's head and food is in the refrigerator. So sometimes you do have that parent that means well, but they're working so hard in this economy, they unintentionally overlook it. And then there are those parents who are just not involved enough with their kids. I mean, the truth hurts. So
right.
You do have those parents that try and they're just doing their best. And then you do have those parents who, you know, realistically need to step up to the plate, take a look at the mirror and say, hey, you know, these are my kids or this is my child. And, you know, it's my responsibility since I made the choice to give birth to this young man or young lady to be productively involved in their life and the choices that my children make. You know, make sure that homework is done.
Right.
Make sure that everything is going okay at school. And not just school. Make sure everything is going okay outside of the learning environment. And we need to get away from thinking that you can replace love and time with tangible and material things.
Okay.
Kids like those things, but kids love time, you know. I think my dad bought me my car when I was a junior in college, and we didn't go without, despite of the fact of my parents being divorced, but I remember the time. I remember taking the walks. I remember going to the library. I remember, and I don't bet you kids don't even know what this game is, but I remember, you know, my mother would just sit in the middle of the floor and play jacks with me. Do you remember that, Lucinda, jacks?
Yeah.
I bet you kids probably don't even know what jacks are. Well, those are the things that kids will remember. It's not the iPod or the gym shoes. Of course, they'll be like, Mom and Dad made sure I was clean. But the quality time, if we could just get back to that. Exactly.
The memories of spending time with your family and doing traditional things or maybe new things. But, you know, I was just thinking, one of the things that we always did growing up is we always had family dinner together at the table.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays with everybody, you know, doing their own thing and everybody's so busy, I don't know, of course I'm not out there in everybody's kitchen to see, but, you know, it just doesn't seem like that's happening as much as it used to. And that was such a good time for everybody to get together and talk about their day and what they did and what they need to do and just, you know, to kind of pull things together at the end of the day.
Yes. Yes, I so agree with you on that.
Yeah. You know, going back to Boyd's book and, of course, growing up, in the drug situation and stuff like that. Do you see a lot of kids coming to school that are, obviously we still know that a lot of the parents, you know, got involved in that and maybe some still are in it or, you know, like the story that you mentioned of the girl whose mom was.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can honestly say that was with a high school child.
Right.
And when I was teaching high school, I taught high school from 2005 to 2004 to 2007, 3 years. That situation was not, you would think you would be like, oh my goodness, this is the end deal here. That was just many of the different situations. And in high school, if you do a study, any high school, the ninth grade year, the transition from eighth grade to ninth grade, Lucinda, is the most difficult. Believe it or not, you have your biggest dropout of kids by the ninth grade. Prime example, you may have 800 kids enter into that school, okay, in 2005. That class is supposed to graduate in 2009. Now, in 2005, I'm just giving an example here, okay? There were 800 kids. In 2009, why are there only 250 kids walking across the stage?
Wow.
because of influences, shutting down, not having the appropriate guidance, not knowing who they could trust as far as teachers, to, you know, someone to confide and go to,
right.
Just no outlet and no one to really turn to, you know?
Right.
So not only would you see that young lady's situation, you would see a lot of the situation with Boyd, you know. You feel like you can't make a way in school or you can't fit in, then, you know, you would make a bad decision, and that being to drop out of school.
Right.
And, you know, we're not going to even go into the statistics, because I just had this conversation with some of my sixth graders who are 11 and 12, and I'm like, you know, let's do the math. 18 minus 12 is 6.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of you all, if you don't start getting yourselves together and, you know, taking education seriously, 9 times out of 10, you're probably going to end up incarcerated. That's just
right.
The sad reality of it. So,
right.
Now,
Do you teach at a private school?
No, I'm in a public school. I've taught at the Detroit Public Schools in the Detroit Public School System for 14 years. And I've taught anything from second grade on up to 10th grade. And currently I am a sixth grade teacher, English Language Arts.
Right. Rob has a question for you here.
Sure.
Pass over to him.
Sure.
Yeah, Michelle.
Yes.
I want to ask you, you know, when I was coming up back home, they used to have the Regents 6 and all that. And, you know, do they still got that, them different regions like that back in the school system?
Well, could you explain to me? Because, you know, I'm not from here. What is a Region 6?
Is that
an after-school program? Or?
No, it's where the top people at. That run the whole public school system in Detroit, and it used to be on 6 Mile, you know, like say you got kicked out of all the public schools in Detroit,
mm-hmm.
you would have to go over to the Region 6 office to.
I understand what you're saying now. I think that has become what's called adult ed,
mm-hmm.
And then now in the high schools they have what's called second chance programs.
Mm-hmm.
So the second chance program is basically you couldn't make it in school in the daytime. You have to come to school 5.5 hours per night in order to graduate. And if you don't complete the requirements in second chance,
mm-hmm.
then you won't get your degree. The other programs, Boyd, they have are the adult ed programs.
Okay.
And I think, if I'm not mistaken, they go to school for a specific amount of time, and then they test with the GED.
Okay.
And I think that will, once they complete the time required, and then they would take the GED. And if they pass the GED, they will be, you know, granted their GED, which is not a high school diploma, but, you know, you can take
right.
that and move.
You can maneuver
yes.
with that, too.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, that's cool, because I was wondering if they still had that, but so much done changed through the years.
Well, you know what? Yes, let me say yes. The name has probably changed, but they still have those programs, you know, those second chance programs and alternate adult ed programs is, I believe, the terms for it now. So same thing, just different terminology.
Different terminology, okay. And I also wanted to ask you, too, whenever you get a little time,
mm-hmm.
I would like for you to email me and Lucinda some information, because I want to get my Streets Don't Love You Back book into the school system, if
mm-hmm.
I can, up there in Michigan. And, you know, it's already in the Charles H. Wright Museum right down East Warren.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, it's in the rare book section right there. And then it's already in the main library on Woodward Avenue. So I just want to get into that school system because, like I said, you know, I came up in the whole cold thing up there in Detroit, you know. Started being in the gang at 10 years old. You know, I seen my daddy, stepdaddy, get murdered when I was 9 years old, you know. So
that's what
led me to the streets, you know. And I lived a gang life and selling drugs from the time I was 10 till I was in my 20s, you know.
So
I just want to give back to my state, you know, where I came from and the streets for what I helped destroy back in the day, you know.
Yeah, well, I can tell you this. You can log on to www.DetroitPublicSchools.org. And if I'm not mistaken, there is a third floor, a literacy floor, that you can submit a proposal to.
Okay.
Asking them and requesting them to purchase your book for it to be utilized for a certain student population of kids attending DPS. Now, I can honestly say I'm not sure, because you do know we are over $300 million in the hole right now.
So you know what, I think you got a caller on here. We're going to go to this call. It might be someone ask your question. Hold on.
Sure. Okay.
Yes, sir, caller. You at Streets Don't Love You Back.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you right now. How you
doing? What's up? Hey, this is Ryan. What's up, Adra?
Hey, Ryan, what's going on?
Nothing much. You know what? Am I at the beginning of the show or the end of the show?
You have to ask Boy, where are we with the show? Lucinda, where are we with the show?
We towards the end, you know, 15-minute shot.
Okay. You know what? I had it was in my calendar, but I forgot you guys are – I'm in the sense of time zone, so I was thinking, I'm like, wow, this show's starting awfully late.
Right.
Yeah, we
start on time at 9:30. We in Arizona.
Oh, okay. I'm in the Chicago area.
Okay, you're in Chi-Town, yeah. And Chi-Town and Detroit on the same wavelength, right?
No.
Well, hour off, actually. It was 11:17 there, Ryan?
Oh, no, yeah. I'm 11:17,
yeah. Yep, it's 12:17 here in Detroit. And 9:17 in Arizona.
Exactly.
We got three time zones.
Yeah, once that time zone went back, that set we stay at the same time zone, you know what I mean? So now we're only 2 hour difference than from Detroit now, you know, but when it's on the daylight saving time thing, when it ain't on, then we're 3 hour difference.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're glad to have you at the show, my man. You know, what's on your mind?
For sure. Hey, I didn't catch the show, but me and Adrian, we went to school together, so you know, I always try to support her and her endeavors, and you too, because of the fact that she's on your show, so you've been promoted too.
Oh, ain't no doubt. You know, I like to get in where I fit in when it comes to positivity. You know,
right, for sure. I run a website, blackfolkhotspots.com, and basically, you know what? It's not too much to try to figure out, but it's basically, you know, promoting us, getting us out there so that people know what we're doing, you know.
Oh, exactly.
There's people, the positive minds that want to know, hey, where can I go hang out? What shows can I listen to? They all out there.
Right.
I think we need to feed our mind with that stuff all the time.
Right.
We must eat, sleep, and drink it, man. Now, what's that website again, Ryan?
BlackFolkHotspots.com.
Okay, tell my wife again. Hold on.
Go ahead.
Say it one more time.
Hey, wifey, it's Black Folk, no S, hotspots.com.
Okay. All right.
All right, yeah, we'll check that out, Ryan. But yeah, I'm glad you are on and supporting Miss Young. You know, I was just real intrigued on, you know, her books and what she's doing as far as teaching and educating the youth about a lot of different things and not just about education. You know, she's teaching them and showing them that if you don't get that education, you end up in the penitentiary or the graveyard. So that's a real life teacher, you know, compared to when other teachers teach, you know. Some teachers just teach and say, hey, I'm going to teach you in the classroom, and then some teachers ain't even teaching you in the classroom. sit you to the side, you know what I mean? And a lot of times the guy or the young lady that you sit to the side, like Ms. Young was speaking earlier in the show, sometimes you got to utilize the decision you make when you're dealing with these kids, because some of them be so stressed out at home trying to do good in school, but they go through the problems. Mom and daddy might be drug addicts, or mom and daddy might just don't care, period. You know what I mean? So it's a lot of frustration go there with that child. So I recommend Ms. Young on how she do with the kids, you know, and that's so many teachers don't do that. So that's a great thing for us going beyond, you know what I mean, as just not just a teacher, but a person that's willing to go that extra step to let them know it's only two ways if you don't act right, and that's graveyard or penitentiary.
You know what? That's so true. My mom teaches third grade in East Chicago, Indiana school system, and she talks about the same thing. She talks about these kids, and she talks. You know what? And she even talks about the parents, which sometimes I'm like, are you serious?
Yeah, me and Boyd and Lucinda just had a long discussion about that. So
I'm like, seriously, you know, I just went to the school for parent-teacher conferences. My daughter's in the third grade, and you know, and she's in the school system, and they trying a little bit harder. You know, it's a lot different from it's not in the urban area, so they're doing a few different things. But at the same time, I had to tell her teachers, and almost every year, you know what? Listen. One of the things that I did not do, and I did not want to do it, is I didn't care if my daughter knew her ABCs at 2 years old.
Right.
I want her to be a kid.
Right.
I don't have to have the genius so I can show my friends, hey, baby, go count from 1,000 backwards.
Right.
I figured, let her pick it up as she picks it up.
Right.
You know, and she's right on pace. And looking at her test scores, you know what? I'm pretty satisfied that she's right there where she's, to me, where she's supposed to be, you know. But so many times, you know, I look at it as these kids that are so far advanced, you in the third grade, you read on a sixth grade level, you know, when do you get bored?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes I agree with you, my man Ryan, sometimes we can push our children a little too much and not letting them be a child, you know. And I think that's what was so great about our parents coming up. They let us be a child, you know. They let us be a kid. And the ones who went astray, you know, a lot of
right.
them astray, true enough.
And they taught us lifelong lessons, you know.
Yeah.
Lifelong lessons.
Yeah.
Stay grounded.
Common sense.
Yeah. So I agree with you on that, young man, you know.
Common sense, bro. Common sense. And you know what? It's so funny because my grandpa used to always say, you know, common sense ain't common. And that's what a lot of these kids, they can ace a test.
Right.
You know, on anything, but they don't know how to walk across the street.
Right. And another thing I want to say, too, Ryan, a lot of them can't get that math or that English right in school, but you ask them something about that PlayStation or that Xbox or that computer, they can tell you.
Yeah.
You feel me? But you
absolutely.
Ask something about that lesson in class. They don't know the first thing you're talking about. You know what I mean?
You know, and that's one of the things. I mean, I coach, you know, 7-8-year-olds and in baseball during the summers, and it's funny because my strategy has always been a little different. You know, in age of probably remember from school, my thing in school might have been a little bit different. But you know what? I always got my grades, and I like
right.
the coaches have told me, "What are you doing?" I said, "You know what? I played this game from 6 years all up until the time when I was 18, 19 years old, had scholarships to go to college. I chose to go to the Air Force, so
right.
I didn't take up on the college. I was sick of school, so I went to the Air Force. Didn't realize they were gonna put me right back in school, but that was no problem. I said, but I teach the fundamentals. I had some of the best coaches." And it's the same way
right.
with these teachers in these school systems, you know, some of them. Now, I do
right.
believe that mom several times. I believe that at a certain age, some of the teachers need to go ahead and retire.
What?
Sometimes when you're dealing with a lot of kids in the system, you know, we got to be for real with each other, bro, Ryan. We're dealing with a lot of kids in the system, and nowadays, like Ms. Young said, back in the old school days when we was all coming up, you liable to have one or two cats tripping sometime, you know what I mean?
Right.
Fast clown or something. But nowadays, in this era and time, if you got 40 kids in class, 35 of them tripping. You know what I mean? It's only five trying to get the best known. You know what
I
mean? Everybody else up here got it. Hey, they got an attitude, stressed out at the crib, want to be that guy, want to be that girl. You know what I mean? And it's no, I'm going to sit down and get my lesson did. Okay, the bell ring. You know what I mean? And we go to quiet time or however they go in school nowadays. But now, you know, the majority of people come to school, man, they got an attitude and don't even want to be there to learn, you know? So that makes the teacher job even more stressful, even more harder. You know what I mean? So it's just not like when we was all coming up, man. The school thing is a stressed out thing. And that's why I commend these teachers that put up with all this stuff. Man, these 80 kids, oh, my God, man. They is off the charts out here, Claire, you know?
I do. And, you know, one of the funny things about that is, and one of my beliefs in the school system is, and I know you can do the same thing as well as everyone on this call can think about, they can remember one to two teachers throughout their, you know, time in school from K through 12 that will never, ever forget. And it's a reason. And it's a reason for that because that was the teacher that knew them best, that took them and didn't try to teach on a cookie cutter.
Right.
They went outside the box. And that's huge because, like I tell my mom, Mom, you got to be able to reach some of these kids. And I know that you're in your 50s, but at the same time, sometimes you got to drop down to that third grade age, so that 9-year-old, that 10-year-old, that 8-year-old age sometimes. And once you drop down to that level, you can build them up because they'll look
right.
They'll hang on every word.
You can relate to them a little bit more.
Right. Try to see behind the eyes of them. Exactly. Boy, this is good.
That's what I do.
They can't relate to the old school tactics some of these kids
now.
They
can't.
You know what I mean?
No.
Because, see, we grew up with values and morals, and even like me, for instance, even though I got...
And boundaries. Boundaries.
I had values when it came to my mama. You know what I mean? I didn't disrespect my mother. I might have got in trouble and all that there, but I didn't bring it to my mama's house. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I made choices, and I made a lot of bad choices coming up in the hood. But like I, you know, stated again, I was always very respectful to my mama and bat nobody else disrespected. You know what I mean? So we came up with that type of moral. But nowadays, you got kids that are, you know, cuss their mama and daddy out and slap them and everything else. You feel me? When we was coming up, man, shit, we even thought about talking back. We even got that broom or that belt or that extension cord, you know? So the game done flipped 1,000 times over out here, man, with these 80 kids, you know?
That's what I call them.
The kids that was born in the 80s, man. They
Generation
the
80s. X.
Yeah, they had a trip, girl. You hear me?
They off the chart
out here now, you know?
I'm telling you, to this day, that's why I maintain over the last 2 years coaching my record. I probably only lost 3 years because I get down, I get out there, and I wrestle with them. I play with them like they're 7, 8, but then I'm like, hey, you know what? This is what I want you to do. And then, you know, they're going to look at me like cross-eyed sometimes because they don't quite understand. And then I show them, I take one kid or two kids or three kids and show them some success. And then they all want to have that success. And I don't do it like an iron fist like some of these other coaches, and that's how we kick the crap out of them every time. And I know it's a difference between reaching these urban kids, reaching these other kids. I mean, that's not an urban area.
You silly, Ryan. That's real tough, man. You know what I mean?
Hey, the
wife, you want to say something right quick? We got 60 seconds before we roll off. And then
this went fast.
We're going to let Ms. Young give us shout-out to everybody and Dad. You know, we're going to let the wife here say something right fast.
Sure.
Peter, I just want you to let everybody know where they can get your books at.
Sure. They can log on to www.amazon.com, type in Adria Young. They can go to my website at www.ardanyl, and that's spelled ardanyl.me. They can also join my Facebook group. It's called the Author and Adria Young Facebook Group. So they can do that tonight, and I'm always on Facebook. And I thank you for having me, Lucinda and Boyd. It's been entertaining and educating tonight, and educating all in one. So thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, any other shout-outs you'd like to give any of your students or your family members?
Oh, they know I love them, and I'll see them in the morning. That's about it. If the snow don't come down too much, I'll be there in the morning waiting for them.
Exactly. Anything you'd like to say, Brother Ryan?
Hey, yeah, absolutely. Hey, I appreciate you giving Asia the platform because we need things like this. So big shout-out to you guys for doing that. And for me, like I said, you can go to my site, which is blackfolkhotspots.com, or you can find me on Facebook. Ryan Hodge is my personal page, H-O-D-G-E. Or my fan page for Black Folk Hotspots, it's facebook.com, Black Folk Hotspots, and the B, the F, the H, and the S are, or is, capitalized.
Okay, my man. We appreciate that, you know? And
hey, and look me up. Send me invite.
Go ahead, brother.
You hear that? Lucinda, boy, he said, y'all can send y'all information and
yeah.
Network, because Ryan is powerful. I mean, I don't even live in Gary. Ryan has set up all my author events, or he finds events for me to market my books. So he's a doer, and I like doers in my life.
Send me an invite, and I'll get it, posted, man. Send me an invite through Facebook if you're on there, because if you're not, then you need to be.
Here.
Do you got an ink pen right handy, bro, Ryan?
I do. All the time, bro. Come on, man. You can't walk
okay.
Right.
You can. My book is called "The Streets Don't Love You Back."
Okay.
And our website is www.thestreetsdontloveyoubackneem.com.
Okay. Cool.
And you can go there and see everything we do with the movement, our TV shows, our radio show, which this is the radio show, but I got two TV shows that airs in Cincinnati, Ohio, among other things that I do. I've been in the music business 22 years, you know, and
okay.
I done dealt with everybody from Genuine, 112, Jada Kiss, Donnell Jones. Everybody's in my book who I done dealt with through the years.
For sure. Yeah, I'm gonna definitely hit that up.
Yeah.
And then what's your thing on Facebook?
Facebook is www.facebook.com/thestreetsdontloveyouback.
You got it.
Or you can look at my personal page, and it's just Rob Boyd, R-O-B-B-O-Y-D, Rob Boyd.
Okay, for sure.
You know, and we appreciate...
You're not related to Bobby Boyd, are you?
I don't know, man. I get it's a lot of boys, a lot of guidance. You know, I'm out of Detroit, off the east side.
Okay, because, yeah, I know that's actually a family member of mine, but he out in Arizona.
Right, yeah, my real daddy had 12 kids, and I don't know none of them but me and my sister that he had by my mama. But it's a lot
okay.
of boys.
Huh. All right, maybe we got a link there.
Yeah, but, hey, I want to just say thanks for everybody. Thank you, Miss Young, and we're going to keep pushing the message for you, you know what I mean, with your books. We'll put that information up on our movement page. Or when you get time, Ms. Young, log on to our movement page and put your profile and that thing up, because we get a lot of hits at the streetsdontloveyouback.name.com page as well, you know?
Okay. I think I'm already registered with that, Lucinda and Boyd. So
I think I seen you on that. You sure right, girl. I be moving so much, the wife be handling all that.
Put the information on there.
Put the book information and
your websites and everything, like where everybody can go log on and different things, so they'll be able to see that and come to where you at, you know?
Okay. Thank you so much. This has been great. I hope that I can come back in the near future.
Oh, no doubt.
And I will let everybody know.
We'll get you on our TV show, too. We'll get you on our TV show, too.
Wow. Thank you so much for the support. And I will be continuing to share your information, you and Lucinda's information about the move, the Streets Don't Love You Back move. So God bless you guys, and thank you. Thank you again.
Oh, it's all good. We're going to get in touch with you because I'm coming home to visit my mama for the holiday, you know. So if I can put that in the time when I'm home, my mama's down south here, her and my sister. So I can get that time in, man, Lucinda, then we can interview you while we're there, and I'll put it on our show, you know.
I'll be here. Call me. I'll call you guys.
We appreciate everything, and here go the wifey. She's going to say her last little things on the show. Thank you.
Okay.
Both of y'all, Ryan and Ms. Young.
Yeah, for sure. Yep.
Thank you. And we'd like you to join us next Wednesday night. Again, it's 8:30 Pacific, 9:30 Central Time, and 11:30 Eastern Time. We also have a Christmas toy drive. And anyone interested in sending toys can send them to P.O. Box 226, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45201, and just make that to Attention Boyd / Lucinda Toy Drive. We're going to find some families that are in need of some toys this year. Also, I just got to put a little shout out there for BTM Magazine out of Detroit. We will be featured in that magazine for their first quarter, which will be coming out in January. So I just want everyone to look out for BTM Magazine coming out in January. And just want to let you all have a wonderful night and a wonderful week, and we'll see you next week. Just remember that.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.